Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left, 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's the Overtime Show. Here's Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Overtime Show. Hour 2 coming your way. It's brought to you by Wordlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Tonight on WGR Sports Radio 550 Westwood 1 presents the Rams at the Browns at 8 p.m. Sunday Night Football on WGR, brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. Bills, they win 21-17. Joe and I having fun, enjoying our
3-0
Bills. I had a flat tire this morning.
I might be 7-for-7 in fantasy leagues today if I get a couple of plays here.
Seven. I'm hoping. I'm looking decent for 10 out of 10 for me.
How's that tire situation going, though?
It sucks. I just texted a buddy of mine who owns a local establishment. Here's the thing about tires, you know. A lot of them can be replaced or patched. A lot of them can be patched. But if you bring it to a place, you know, and I don't want to throw any names up, but Schnunschneier, like if you bring it to a chain, like no matter what, they're going to say you need to replace the tire because they want you to buy their tire.
Sure.
They don't want a $25 patch job. They want a $400, you know, tire and a $100 service request. Like that's what they want. So I'm going to bring it to a buddy who will hopefully give me a legitimate diagnosis and say, hey, Nate, this really could just be patched up.
You can probably fix it yourself.
It's probably some
YouTube video
Shut
out
up,
there
Joe.
That could tell
I can't
you.
Fix. I'm not a fixer guy.
Just throw some duct tape on there.
Not a fixer guy, honestly. Just throw some duct tape. That's why I've got friends.
You got one of those air pumps like with for a basketball or whatever?
No, that's not how it works.
It could work.
No, that's not how it works. Let's go to Jonathan. My man, Jonathan, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Nate.
What's up, brother?
Doing good, brother. Overall, I'm very happy with what I saw from Josh Allen. My only concern is the mental mistakes. I mean, he has this raw talent, but he's still trying to play hero ball, that interception that turned the momentum of the game. So I'm hoping as he gets more experience, he will eventually stop that. So I tried calling the Chopin the Bulldog earlier, but I was going to ask him how Josh Allen looks compared to Jim Kelly in 1987. Was Kelly making the same mistakes? Was Kelly trying to play hero ball back in 87?
Jonathan, I'd love to tell you. I wasn't alive. I wasn't even close yet. I was still I was 4 years out.
I was eight years out for me.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, though, Jonathan. I think we sort of lose track of the fact that, what are we, 13 games into his career? He hasn't even played.
This was
his
13th start.
Does not have a full season under his belt yet. So
he's almost at what EJ got. I didn't mean to compare them there, but whatever.
Yeah, no.
He needs to stop it, obviously. Although it does work sometimes, but no, I don't think you can get away with playing that way. You know what I mean? Where like you're always taking that super.
Oh,
risky.
Certainly not.
There are so many times in a game. I would imagine those that watch on TV maybe experience this more because of the camera angle, where you don't really see what's going on downfield, right? A ball goes into the air that leaves his arm, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's about to happen? Because it's fluttering or it's way up in the air and it's getting caught in the air. It's like, that looks like a pass that's normally intercepted, but he gets away with it like 8 times out of 10, but then 2 times, like 20% of the time, it's the worst interception you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's. I would say for the most part, though, there has not been as much of that.
No.
There hasn't been enough of that to make him, you know, to make all the critics necessarily completely right about him. Like, I think someone that was really harsh, who was the guy, someone called him a joke of a prospect going into last season. That guy would have thought that play happens a ton. It's really only happened a handful of times.
Yeah.
But it has happened. So I do think that that needs to be the next thing that's just wiped out of his game. Like, you got to figure out a way to get him to stop doing that.
Here's the thing, though, is there's going to be plays that he makes that other people can't, doing the same thing. So sometimes it's going to look really bad and stupid, and he's going to throw an interception. Other times it's going to be a highlight reel top ESPN top 10 play. So I can't tell you from my perspective that I think he should eliminate it fully from his game. I think he needs to pick his spots, certainly. That wasn't a situation where I want him to throw that football. The problem becomes when Josh Allen breaks the pocket and does this a lot to the right, is he tends to lose a ton of ground before he gets into a position to make a throw.
Yeah.
So he turns what is really a 5-yard throw from the line of scrimmage into a 25-yard throw by how he scrambles out of the pocket. So there's going to be times I need him to understand that it's a play that he can make, and other times where I just got to take this 25-yard sack as much as I don't want to. But he's keeping plays alive, and, you know, plays Eli Manning can't make that Daniel Jones does that we're seeing today. By the way, Daniel Jones and that offense look remarkably better with Daniel Jones than it did Eli Manning.
A lot of it's just
Daniel Jones is a nice little player.
A lot of it's just the athleticism.
Yeah.
Like, they can't protect. And Eli is, like, he's got stones in his feet. Like, he's got bricks tied to his shoes. Like, the guy can't move. And Daniel Jones, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson, but
he's
definitely getting away from pressure a lot easier. Like, they look way more competent with him in this game. They're playing Tampa, who...
Their defense first 2 weeks has played pretty well, though.
Right.
Better than they had when under Dirk Cutter. But.
They look like a team to me that might not be the second worst team in football, which I thought they were with Eli Manning.
Yeah, you're right. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Mick, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Mick. Hey, Mick, you there? All right, sorry, Mick. No go for you. Let's go to Jake. You're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Jake.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
You guys actually just stole my thunder before I was about to come on. So there's two things I feel like I'd like to see. First of all, great game. I like where we are both on both sides of the ball, to be quite honest with you. I think it's a process for the offense, and they're always a little bit behind the defense. So I think as the season goes, we're going to be so much better. But you guys had stole my thunder regarding a couple things, one being Josh's footwork. I think the next step for him in this process is to learn how to, when he extends the play, not to when he rolls right to lose ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's happened now in two straight games where he's rolled right.
Like multiple times during the game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because I think in his head he thinks, sometimes I can go around and beat the pressure, because oftentimes he
can. You know, right, yeah.
He can beat it. But then he fools himself, because what they're doing is when they're blitzing from the outside with pressure, like especially contained pressure, he's got to realize that's not the time to roll right. It's the time to step up and either take the sack stepping up, or just pull the ball down and get back to the line of scrimmage. I think that's a big thing for him to, you know, in the next step of his game. And in terms of Brian Daboll, I think he calls really good games, but for some reason in the third quarter,
it
seems like we go to sleep. And I don't know if it's I can't figure it out right now if it's a McDermott thing or a Daboll thing, where I don't think we're like some of these other offenses where we go for the killer instinct. Like, we just like go to sleep, we become very vanilla, first down run. You know, I just feel like we lose our advantage that we started out with the game plan in the first or second quarter. I don't know why we're not replicating that. And like for example, the jet sweep on 3rd and 1 going outside. Like, mm-hmm. Understand that you got Frank Gore, you're gashing up the guard attack. That's my only things I'm looking for improvement going into the next week. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Jake, thanks for the call, man. A couple of really good points. I particularly like the point that you made about him rolling out to his right. And I think there's going to be, and I think especially this upcoming week, is there's going to be a lot of situations where he's going to get baited into doing that. He needs to have the wherewithal to not go out and not try to beat defenders backwards. You know, and listen, I mean, most, 27 quarterbacks in the NFL likely get sacked on the plays that Josh Allen is breaking out to the outside. It's just, you know, part of his game, but I think it's the part of his game that needs the most refining is understanding when it is okay to take a sack, when it's right to throw the football away. And listen, that's going to come. You know, like, again, I kind of want to keep going back to this point, is he's played 13 NFL football games. Those things are going to come. They're the nuances. They're the nuanced parts of the game. You know, we'll see when it changes, but I think that there is something there, to Jake's point, that makes you say, okay, just take the sack here. For the love of God, just take the sack.
or just throw it away, or get to a position where you can. It feels like his throwaway is almost his last resort too much. You know what I mean? Like when he's rolling out, there were two plays, one last week and one this week, where he gets so deep scrambling away that by the point he decides, all right, I'm going to throw this away, he no longer has the arm strength. He no longer even has he's not in the position to get it back to the line of scrimmage, and he can't throw it away because he's 15, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So maybe it's not necessarily arriving at a point where you throw it away or even take a sack. It's getting there quicker because he is, honestly, he might be good enough where he could scramble around the back of the line of scrimmage as long as he wants.
I just don't want him to do it every time.
Right, but he'll end up 40 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's just it's unrealistic to think that you're ever going to get a good result out of that. So those are like the little things he needs to work on. But I do think that the meat of what we're looking at, that, you know, what we're really trying to figure out here and whether he's going to be not just good enough for the Bills this year to be a playoff team, but good enough for them to be a playoff team year after year after year. That stuff seems to be working. He's using Cole Beasley, right? That was something coming into the season that we were all questioning. Would he even use that type of player? He is. He's using that player.
Well, I'd
He's
say.
Checking it down, and he's throwing it to Beasley and underneath stuff. Yeah, I would agree. He's doing it well. And the accuracy looks better. It's not perfect, but it looks better.
Way better. Way better. I agree it's not perfect.
Right.
But I would argue that
that stuff to me was more important, and that stuff has come into play.
I'd like to throw something out here as Daniel Jones potentially looks to bring his team and a comeback victory with a minute 26 left. They're in the red zone, 3rd and 5. Daniel Jones is 23 of 35 for 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions in his debut.
Why can't we get a 300-yard passer? I don't understand.
They needed it today. They didn't get it.
I'll say this. 8 games, we saw, right? Allen has thrown for 200 yards.
And 200 yards in 8 straight games.
But he hasn't got the 300.
He hasn't got the 300 yet.
Mahomes, by the way, gets the 300 every single game
on
of his
pace,
career.
On pace for 6,800 yards and 58 touchdowns.
It's insane.
It's good. It's
good
stuff.
Breaking the league. He's going to be the best quarterback ever if he does 80% of what he's done so far for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
If he does if he goes on this pace for the rest of his career, like, he's going to be the best quarterback by the time he's 26.
Yeah, Brett Favre's, all of his records are in trouble.
Yeah, not only is he's breaking fantasy football, by the way.
Yes,
I think if he keeps doing this, he's going to be the first quarterback experts tell you to take in the first round.
Here's another development, because it seemingly isn't showing up on Red Zone or on this game up here
that we're watching
on the screen.
What we got?
The Chargers are down by... Okay, they just kicked a field goal. They were down 10. They're down a touchdown to Houston at home, 27-20 in the fourth quarter, 7 minutes left in that game. Let's take a look at Mason Rudolph, 14-25, 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. They're down by 4. It looks like they don't have the football. I can't tell. It's not giving me a possession marker. But San Francisco's looking to go to 3-0, I should say.
Daniel Jones just ran in a touchdown, by the way, real quick.
Wow.
So they're going to take the lead with an extra point. Continue, though.
Wow.
Rudolph's putting up stats, though, as you mentioned.
Is he?
Isn't he?
174 yards? In three quarters?
For him?
I guess.
A couple of touchdowns. I thought he was going to be way... I thought his stat line would look like Luke Falk's, who didn't even crack 100 yards today.
Yeah, I don't think he's very good.
Rudolph or Falk?
Both. Yeah, I don't think
Are the Bills favored in Pittsburgh later in the season if you had to guess right now?
Absolutely.
If they play tomorrow, are they favored in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
And you think by that point in the season they will be?
I believe so.
Man, it'd be close for me. I bet you next week they'd be an underdog, but like a 1-2 point underdog.
Okay. All right. I disagree, but you know, here we are. Alan, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Alan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, my friend.
I have got a couple observations on Alan, and I'm not gonna I'm going to sort of compare him a bit to Tom Brady. He has some intangibles. Brady, when he was drafted, I think he was sixth round or something, he was slow. He wasn't the best pick, but they told the people in his college, said he's a leader and he hates to lose. And right now I'm seeing Josh. He seems to be able to do enough to win, and I'm sure he's going to improve. I mean, like you say, he's only been like 13 games. But I like the way he handles himself. He seems a pretty sharp individual, not cocky.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that on the field as well as off, when I've heard him, how he's in front of the press and that. And these are some intangibles, like I say, that I think he's going to develop into your franchise quarterback. I mean, I've been watching the Bills since a fellow by the name of Jack Kemp was your quarterback. And, you know, so I think he's – I think you got a keeper there. And I know he'll develop, you know, and the mistakes, they will start becoming fewer and far between. So I think you got a winner there in Josh. And I hope they stick with him, give him enough time to develop. And I just want to can I comment? I just want to compliment the Bills fans. No, I'm just north of, you know, I'm just north of Buffalo here on the Canadian side, and I love the area. And I was in East Aurora, at the first game of the season, and I happened to just stumble upon an open air hockey arena with a huge big screen TV showing the Bills game, and they were losing 16-0 at the time. But the fans were all decked out in their Bills gear and were still cheering their team on. And, man, I could feel the energy right into my car. And you know, you've had a lot of many lean years since the four Super Bowl appearances. And the Bills fans have plenty of reason to bail on their team, but they didn't. And they still don't. And your fans are very special, and I think the players feel that. That's probably the reason why a lot of players choose to retire here, like Jim Kelly, I think Thurman Thomas, and there's many others, I imagine. So I just want to say that I enjoy sort of following the Bills, and I enjoy your coverage, and I just want to thank you for all you've done.
Thanks, Alan. We appreciate the kind words. Thanks for listening where you are. Thanks for following along. We do appreciate it. Yeah, you know,
I think next week's going to be a madhouse.
It is going to be insane.
This week was pretty energetic, obviously, with the ceremony for Pancho Villa and everything, but it's going to be amped up, I think, next week. 3-0
You think?
Versus 3-0 New England. Now, maybe in the second half it won't be, but I think to start that game, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be raucous. I would expect it to be. It's not obviously going to be, but what's the weather look like for the next week, by the way?
I don't know, Joe. You think you're gonna follow weather? That's
yeah.
Why not?
Right. Everything matters for next Sunday against New England.
You think?
Well, what do you want? You want it to be like downpour, rain? Because the fans might not like that, but
it's gonna be fall. Everything's up in the air. Time now to cut to Lorenzo Alexander. I'm sorry. Time now to cut to the locker room to hear from Lorenzo Alexander. It's brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
Find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about, finding ways to win. Just like you said, we still have to learn how to finish off teams. You know, obviously being 3-0 is great, but the teams that seem to separate themselves over a period of time when they're up and have a game, I would say semi under control, they learn how to put teams away, and so that it doesn't come down to 2 minutes at the end like it did.
Would it be safe to say that if you want to be a great defense, you guys had to make that last out? I mean, they could
of course.
You want to be a great defense.
Of course. And that's what it's all about, finding ways to get the ball. Obviously, Trey made a great play at the end, turning it over, getting an interception. And we had some other good plays throughout the game as well. But collectively, we still have to get better, being smarter with the football, so we don't put ourselves in those situations where it comes down to 2 minutes.
So why were they able to start moving the ball in the fourth quarter a little bit there, Lorenzo?
I think they made an adjustment. They started running like a handback run, which is pretty much a downhill run, but they keep it outside and trying to make our corners tackle. That hit us a couple of times. Then they went to some max pro and really was being safe and just running some deep outs, which is, you know, we teach our guys to stay on top. And, you know, when you run a deep comeback, that's really hard for a corner to stop when they do a max pro and they have a long time to really set it up when you're trying to prevent the big play, especially when the game is close like that, knowing an offense really wants to get a big chunk. So corners playing top down, and they just able to methodically move the ball down, did some RPOs. It just got into a rhythm, and that was one of the things that we didn't want them to do because we knew they were able to move the ball, and we did a great job in the first half stopping them. And then, you know, it's the NFL. Teams make adjustments, and you have to kind of keep up with them. We weren't able to do it, but obviously made enough plays at the end of the game to win.
As a team leader, did you go up to Josh at any point there after he made some plays that did you talk to him at all? Or?
I don't like messing with Josh during the game. We have some great leaders over there, Matt. Played in this league a long time, so I allowed him to do it because, you know, obviously everybody can go up to him and say, hey, what are you doing? Be smarter. And that sometimes can make a guy play tense, and I want Josh to be Josh. And then obviously we go back and look at the film and figure out where he can probably be make smarter decisions. And so still young quarterback, still growing, made some great plays today for us as well. And it's still a growing experience. And so it was great that we were able to win the game and we can learn after having a W.
When you're on the sidelines and you see
How big a lift did you get from the Dawson Knox play? And how bad did you get?
I mean, that was huge. I mean, we needed a big chunk play, obviously moving the ball down the field. The defense had got some type of rhythm on us, and having a play like that by Dawson stepping up and being physical the way it ended obviously put us in a position where we definitely was going to score at the end. And then having Frank close it out the way he does best, running cats over into the end zone, was awesome to see.
That's Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll continue taking your phone calls. We'll hear from Josh Allen. We'll hear from the head coach, I'm sure, if we can fit it in as well. Again, as you heard on postgame. So stick around. If you're hanging out on hold, we will get to you on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Overtime Show here on WGR.
We got to make better adjustments at halftime. We got to come out with some more juice there at halftime. So we got to understand that the game's not over at that point. We got to do a better job of finishing. You know, there's a lot of things to learn from, especially in that third quarter. A couple missed throws here or there. Like I said, the interception happened. It just can't happen. So a lot of things to learn from. At the end of the day, you know, we got the job done, and I'm super proud of our guys for, you know, how resilient they were today and how we fought back and how we played till the final whistle.
It's Bills quarterback Josh Allen following today's 21-17 victory. I guess you could call it come from behind. I guess you could call it blown lead, then came back. I guess you could call it nerve-wracking, gut-wrenching, lost years of my life. I may have lost some of the thickness of my hair on top. I'm not sure. I think you could say all of those things about today's game. This is the Overtime Show. It's presented by Rudlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. How about you, Joe? Any regrets from this game?
No, not really. I thought, you know, it got nerve-wracking, obviously, was the one word you mentioned there. But it went from very comfortable to I thought they were going to lose that game to, all right, this team has proven now for another time that they are capable of coming back if they're down late in the game. So, overall positive for me, but not perfect, obviously.
Definitely not perfect.
We've got a bad beat brewing here, by the way. First and goal, no time left. It's an untimed down, and Seattle just covered the spread with a touchdown.
You kidding me?
It's such a
that
bad beat.
Sucks.
There was zero on the clock. There was an extra play because of a defensive pass interference. So the game was extended. So they did an untimed down, even though they couldn't win anyway. They were down 12, and the spread was 5.5. And now they're down 6, actually. So they could go for 2 and then not cover the spread, or they can kick the extra point and cover the spread. So for you betting men out there, this is a big one.
So in our Dynasty League together, you and I are both in this league, good chance I'm going to lose with 172 points. Because of Russell Wilson and Keenan Allen.
Wow. Well, Russell Wilson did throw a pick on the line. Oh, no, they didn't count it. That's right. Pass interference. Wow.
Wait. He went back down to 39. So maybe
170? Is that what you said? 172?
Right now, he has 180. I have 172.
That's insane.
But I have one more player to play. I have the Chicago Bears defense against Washington.
It's a great
I need them
matchup.
To get me 9 points.
Washington's
give me 9
not
points.
Score anything.
If they give me 9 points, I'd win.
We have another game, by the way, if you're not keeping up with the NFL schedule right now or what's going on. The Chargers are down 7 with 46 seconds left, and I think they have the ball. And doesn't Philip Rivers always have the ball with 46 seconds left down 7?
What if Houston loses again in this fashion? They lost to the Saints in week one this way.
They'll still win the AFC South. Although, I'm impressed with the Colts.
The Colts have looked...
I'm impressed with the Colts.
Undead.
I have the Colts against Mike Schoep from here at the station at over 7.5 wins. So I like that. But I still think Houston's the most talented team. Chargers good, you know?
That 2-point conversion did not help me. I'll tell you that. Did not help me at all.
Am I not right, though? Philip Rivers is always down 7 points with the ball with 40
Look
seconds
at him. He
left.
Still looks like a young buck, too.
It's the most yards he's run for in 6 years.
And it was 1 yard. Joe.
The AFC's been weird.
The AFC has been weird, and yet.
Here the Bills sit.
By the way,
they have a 2-game lead in the playoffs, maybe? Probably 1 at this point. It's 3 games in. Seriously,
what
if, though.
How
many teams are better than the Bills right now in the AFC? That are definitely better. Definitely better, I would say 2. Chiefs and Patriots. That's it. Who else is definitely better than the Bills? I wouldn't pick the Bills over maybe Baltimore or even maybe still Houston. Chargers. I wouldn't still pick them over the Chargers.
Hmm.
But other than that, the Browns are not as good as everybody thought. The Colts lost Andrew Luck.
Let's wait on the Browns.
No, we'll wait on them, but they lost by 30 to Tennessee.
They did. You can't take that back.
And Tennessee was brutal against Jacksonville.
Back. You can't take that back.
And they didn't really look perfect against the Jets either, to be honest. They couldn't move the football.
No, they certainly didn't.
If there's a competent quarterback playing for the Jets, the Browns might lose that game.
If Sam Darnold's playing, I think that's probably right. And what a story that would be.
Sam Darnold.
What would that? What a story that'd be.
What?
If Sam Darnold and the Jets go in there and beat.
I think the
Cleveland.
I think the they didn't dodge a bullet, but I think part of the picture of the AFC right now, what makes it easier, they got some help by, Sam Darnold getting mono. That basically takes them out of the equation almost completely. They're going to be 0-5 by the time he comes back, maybe. They probably should be with Luke Falk starting at quarterback. Anyways, yeah, the AFC is going well.
The AFC is going just about as well as you could want if you're a Bills fan. There's no doubt about that. I don't know, though. If the Bills take care of business, I don't know that right now with a 3-game lead, a 3-0 start, the Bills have put themselves in a comfortable position, one that they haven't been in a while.
Well, a couple years ago, they're 5-2, but they kind of go 500 down the stretch. That's the other thing. What do you need to get in this year? And let's just do simple math here. You got to get 10, probably, but maybe even 9. But you probably
need
10.
You need 10 this year.
You need 10?
I think.
So let's say they need 10. You're 3-0. You got to go 7-6 the rest of the way. All right? You still got games against Miami twice. You still have games against Denver. You still have games against Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is not as daunting as Roethlisberger, obviously. You got I skipped Washington, who, they've actually looked competent in the first couple of games, but I don't think I'd expect that to continue. That's 5 games right there where they will be favored and probably it's kind of like, today's game going into it. Those are 5 games where you're going into it. You're like, if you're good, you should win this game. You should win this game. And how many measuring sticks are even on there? New England is 1.
Yes.
Philly's 1.
Yes.
We'll see.
Ravens are 1.
We'll see what Cleveland becomes.
Ravens are 1.
Baltimore and Dallas.
Dallas is definitely 1. Dallas is 3-0. Dallas is a good NFC football
team. But I think that's it. And that's 5 games. And that's 16. Their schedule's so easy, man. I don't know. Flacco, Mariota, Keenum. Just look at the quarterbacks.
If the Bills won 11 games this year.
If they won 11 games?
If they won 11.
That'd be incredible.
It would be incredible. But would you be willing to give them credit for winning 11 games considering the schedule?
Yeah, no, I would.
You would.
I might think of them more as like, a 9 or a 10 win team, which would still be good, but no, like I would factor in the fact they had an easy schedule into it. It would be tough for me to think, "Hey, you won 11 games. This is an AFC Super Bowl contender." But I'd be getting there. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'd be close. I'd be a playoff win away from maybe getting there. But if they go 11-5, and in part it's because their schedule's so easy, I'm still going to think of them as like a 9 or a 10 win team, I think. You get a little inflated on the record there. But
listen, they take care of business. I don't care how they win football games.
That also probably won't be enough to win the division.
No.
Because New England
wins probably doesn't win.
The Bills' schedule is one of the easiest in the league. I think New England had the easiest schedule coming into the season. So.
Yeah, and why shouldn't they? It's not like they won, it's not like
20
they won
divisions.
5 out of the last 10 Super Bowls. Why not give them an easy schedule? But in general, I thought the AFC East kind of got a pretty easy schedule.
They did, yeah.
The Jets just caught a bad break the first 7 games of the year, and they're likely going to start 0-7.
I was going to say, for the Bills and Patriots, it made it easier. The Jets and Dolphins are just look like tire fires.
Before we go, we got to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we got Josh Allen here. How about Adam Gase and this Jets? Did you see some of the post-game remarks?
No. Well, I heard
Adam Gase was asked, what he thought of the offense and how they executed today. And his direct quote was, "I thought we did some stuff well."
I thought we did
They deserve each other. That fan base deserves Gase. The organization deserves Gase. It is just... It's music to my ears, and it's not because there's music in my ears. When we come back, Josh Allen, We'll cut to the locker room to hear from Josh Allen, brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider. So you can hear that when we come back. You're listening to the Overtime Show here on WGR. Welcome back to the Overtime Show, presented by Rudlinski Meats, a trusted name in Western New York for over 60 years. Josh Allen, we'll cut to him now to the locker room to hear from Josh Allen. It's brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider.
It's Frank Gore for a reason. Very competitive man. You know, comes up to Dave's and Bobby and explains, you know, what he sees as he's running and what calls he feels comfortable with. And, you know, he did a good job of really finding some holes today. And our offensive line did a really good job of creating some plays out of there. But, you know, he's one of those guys that you give him the ball, he's going to do whatever he can to get yards.
How encouraging is it had an up and down day, a couple of drops. How encouraging is it to see a young guy like that come back and make a play for you like he did?
It's huge. It's huge. Especially for, you know, him being so young. And I think it's a weird stat, but hadn't cut a touchdown pass since his junior year of high school. So for him to find the end zone and to be doing this and making plays for us, you know, especially in crunch time, you know, you love to see that. You know, that tight end group is very well coached. They got a great mentor in Lee Smith there, and they're doing things the right way.
You guys dominated so much this game, seemingly dominated so much this game, except for on the scoreboard. And then just sort of walk us through what it's like taking the field down 17-14 with less than 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, obviously we understand that we left a lot of things out in the field, a couple turnovers here and there. There's one that I can't do, you know, allowed them to get some momentum, get back in the game. But our team's resilient. You know, our defense played a heck of a game again. They're going to go out there and put forth their best effort every game. You know, we know that. And then we got to come out there and we got to take care of business when we have to. You know, when we get down to, you know, the red zone area, we got to finish. You know, like your point, coming out after the, you know, getting down 14-17, you know, with a few minutes left there, we just wanted to trust each other, rely on each other, go out there and just kind of stay calm, stay relaxed. Like I said, I've said this over and over, Coach McDermott does a great job of teaching us situational football. So there's no situation we don't feel like we can handle as a team, as a unit. So we went out there and we did our part, and then the defense got up there and they did their part, and that's how you win football games.
Second game in a row for the third quarter, the offense sort of lost its swagger. What happened?
We had to make better adjustments at halftime. We had to come out with some more juice there. You know, at halftime, I think it was 14-0, right? So we got to understand that the game's not over at that point. We got to do a better job of finishing. You know, there's a lot of things to learn from, especially in that third quarter. A couple missed throws here and there. Like I said, the interception happened. It's something that it just can't happen. So a lot of things to learn from. At the end of the day, you know, we got the job done, and I'm super proud of our guys for, you know, how resilient they were today and how we fought back and, you know, how we played till the final whistle.
You guys, I thought you showed a lot of confidence in the way you played the game today. Was the interception almost a product of that?
No. It's just one of those things where I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to throw the ball away. Wasn't trying to get an intentional grounding. And just one of those plays last split second where, you know, I made a bad decision. So it's something that'll be fixed. It'll be taken care of. I know, you know, it's happened a couple of times, but it's just one of those things that it's got to be put through my head. It can't happen. And, you know, I'm moving on from it. I've learned from it. And I can truly say that. And it's not going to happen again.
Speaking of that intentional grounding earlier, knock you guys out of field goal range, did you just fail to get it back to the line of scrimmage? Or what?
I guess that's what they said. You know, the refs have their job to do, and, you know, they do it well. So, I don't know. Yeah.
Even prior, though, to the interception, you had a couple plays that almost defy logic, you know, pirouetting away from guys and extending plays to some of the receivers. Did you just build off that confidence, or did it kind of...
Just going with the flow of the game. You know, converted on some crucial third downs there. We were able to move the ball. You know, we had 400-plus yards of offense and ran the ball really well today. But at the end of the day, you know, the scoreboard tells a different story. So we got a lot of things to work on, a lot of things to learn from. You know, we obviously know that we're moving on from this game, but we got to learn from some of these things and transfer it and, you know, apply it on the field.
Is it fair to say the next step, maybe one of them for you guys, is to be able to put teams away when you have the opportunity?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's a tell of a good team, too. They go out there, and when a team knows you're going to run the ball, you can still run the ball. When they know you're going to pass, you can still pass the ball. So, you know, every game presents a different challenge. Today, you know, we had some adversity, and every game you're going to handle that, or you're going to have adversity, and you got to find a way to handle that. So, like I said, we've been really well coached there in situational football. Our guys have been doing a really good job of going out there and executing, and, you know, as a product, we're
3-0. It seems like you're using your mobility to buy more time to find your receivers.
fair? And if so, is that a conscious decision? Is it something you work
on? Absolutely. It's just one of those things, just kind of happens during the flow of the game. If I feel like there's a rusher and trying to evade him and trying to keep my eyes downfield, because that's when, if they bring somebody else, it's one less person in coverage. So just being able to trust our guys, go out there, make some plays, find openings. I think we did that tonight for the most part. And, like I said, I got to be doing a better job of taking care of the football, not putting it in harm's way. And, they're just continuing things to learn from and, move on from it.
Josh, you did a little bit of everything today on offense. How much fun is it playing in a Brian Daboll offense, just knowing that on any given play, you guys could do anything? Even Dawson got a carry today.
Yeah. Coach Daboll, he's very innovative with how he thinks. He loves watching other games and, having new ideas being brought to him, whether it's by myself or somebody else in the offense. He's not one of those guys where it's my plays and my plays only. He wants to find the best plays as possible for us. And understanding our personnel and what our guys do well. So he's trying to put us in the best situation possible. And I really appreciate how he coaches his team. He's very respected by a lot of every single one of our guys, just kind of how he handles situations, his mantra, how he talks to guys. He's super competitive, and I think guys really, gravitate towards that. So, I love him, and I appreciate what he does for me and, how he talks to me and how we, have developed our relationship over the past year and a half and how it's going to continue to develop.
Josh, I realize you just got through with this game, but how much does the margin for error diminish looking forward next week?
We really haven't obviously dove into it, but, obviously the Patriots are very well coached. They got a guy over there that plays quarterback pretty well, number 12, one of, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. So, we understand there's a tall task, but at the same time, we're going to try to stick to what we do, learn from this game, make adjustments and go out and try to put our best foot forward next week.
How much did you feel the crowd today?
Oh, it was awesome. Bills Mafia was very supportive today. I think a lot of our new guys especially got to really experience what it was really like. And we're going to need it next week too. So I really appreciate Bills Mafia.
You mentioned that you're going to have drives late in games, either to take the lead or extend the lead. Do you feel differently in those circumstances now? Do you feel like consciously you play any differently when it's every play, obviously, like this one is crucial?
It's just understanding that it's do or die, basically. I understand we needed a score that was a 3 points or a touchdown. Just trying to be as smart as possible with the football, making the plays, trusting the five in front of me and the four or five outside. So, we did a good job of making some plays today. Like I said, Dawson had one of those plays that really lights it up for us in a two-minute situation there, and Frank got it in. So I'm really proud of how we performed today.
Did you see the play where Justin Pepper?
I did not, no. John Feliciano, you're saying? I do not know. I think it was early in the game, though. I'm praying for him. I talked to him after the game, and hopefully everything's fine. But still praying for him. Obviously, he's a big part of our five up front. He sets the tone for us, and he's one of those guys that you'd love to go to war with.
That was Bills quarterback Josh Allen. That'll do it back here in our Amherst studios for me, Nate Geary, and Joe DiBiase. Thanks to Kyle Powell for, or I should say Kyle Hamilton, since I named him that last week. Thanks to Kyle Powell for producing the show and doing updates throughout the evening. We'll be back next week as the Bills take on the undefeated New England Patriots. I expect it to be an awesome week leading up to the game. I'm super excited about it. Bills 3-0, Patriots 3-0. It should be nothing like the last time these two teams met in 2011 in this particular manner. So for me, for Joe, for Kyle, we appreciate you listening here on the Overtime Show on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.